Now George steals a pass and heads for the other end, where he throws down the right hand. Indiana is dominating a 14-point run.
It's time for Pacers Weekly.
And the Pacers did use a late run last night in Philadelphia to send the game into overtime. It was two games that were very similar until the final result Wednesday night, Friday night. Pacers, Sixers in what was a back-to-back against the same team. And it was two games that were very, very similar until the overtime session. The Pacers trailing late. The Pacers miraculously finding their way to force overtime on Wednesday night. We saw the Pacers pull away in overtime on Friday night. And thanks in large part to Joel Embiid, who looks fantastic in what is his third season in the NBA, but in reality his rookie year because he missed his first two seasons with injury. If he can stay healthy, he is a fantastic-looking young big in this league. 25 points in 26 minutes for Embiid. They brought him in to play two overtime minutes, which was two above the limit that they've created for him. And those 2 minutes were a major difference as Philadelphia broke a long streak. They had not won a game in October or November in 54 straight games. But this team, certainly with Embiid, looks a lot better than those teams did a couple of years ago. And the Sixers got their first win of the season. It was 109-105 in overtime. The Pacers looked in serious trouble. With 20 seconds to go, they were down five. This is in regulation. That is when Monte Ellis got an and one. Ellis finishing with 19 points and cut the lead to two. The Sixers then turned the ball over before the Pacers could foul. And then Paul George was fouled and hit two free throws to send it into overtime. The Pacers took the momentum into overtime, and it looked like they might sneak away with one again. But this time in that extra session, Philadelphia the better team, and they earned a 109-105 victory. It means the Pacers remain winless on the road. They're now 0-5 away from Bankers Life Fieldhouse. They are, though, conversely 4-0 and undefeated at home. And that's where the Pacers head tonight. They are back at home against the Boston Celtics. It'll be difficult from the aspect in that the Pacers just played last night. They just played an extra session last night. They played in a close game last night, which always takes a lot of extra energy. But the good news is Boston did play last night as well. Both of these teams were getting into Indianapolis likely at some early hour this morning, although Boston did take care of their opponent last night. The Knicks didn't need that extra frame, so it'll be interesting to see if those extra minutes come into play tonight. But both teams on a back-to-back. The Pacers are looking to keep their perfect record at home alive, where Indiana is 4-0. The Celtics are a team that have had a lot of problems like the Pacers. Last year, both teams were in the top five in defensive efficiency. This year, they're in the bottom half and really the bottom third of that area. Boston, at least going into last night, was dead last in defense, and the Pacers were in the bottom five. These are two teams that have typically been very good on the defensive end that, for whatever reason, have struggled this season. I think we know a lot of those reasons for the Pacers. It's a new team. It's a new style. They're still adjusting for Boston. They've been under Brad Stevens. They made the trade for Al Horford, or I should say they signed Al Horford in the offseason, but Horford has been injured. He's only played in three games so far this season. He did not play last night with a concussion. We'll get you an update on Al Horford as the show goes on, and the latest we have on whether he may or may not play tonight. But home against Boston means you've got a chance to be inside the Fieldhouse. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. There are a few tickets left, but only a handful. Part of the reason this game is selling so well is because it's 60s night. And if you haven't been inside the arena in the last couple days, which would be most of you, considering there hasn't been a game in the last couple of days, they've decked it out to look like the 60s. It's one of the decades nights for the Pacers. Those banners that hang down that have current players typically during a game now show guys like Mel Daniels and Roger Brown and Reggie Miller and Danny Granger. The Fieldhouse has a really cool look right now. You're going to want to see it if you don't have tickets for tonight's game. Again, pacers.com/tickets. And with the purchase of a ticket, you're going to get a free Roger Brown bobblehead. That goes to every person in attendance. You don't have to line up like an hour before and be one of the first 5,000 in. Every single person in the building with a paid ticket, a Roger Brown bobblehead tonight. Plenty of reason to be there. But if a scenario limits you from being at the Fieldhouse tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 Kroger pregame show on the radio. You can hear it right here where you're listening to Pacers Weekly. At 6:30, 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. As well as on the television side, we'll talk with Jeremiah Johnson later in the program, but he goes live on Fox Sports Indiana at 6:30. Pacers and Celtics tonight. When we return, Mark Boyle, He'll chat with head coach Nate McMillan. You're listening to Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union, your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is George Niang. Bankers Life is not just the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. They are also proud supporters of the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 17 seasons, Bankers Life and its parent company, CNO Financial Group, have donated nearly $260,000 to the Pacers Foundation, inspiring and motivating countless Indiana young people. Bankers Life, CNO Financial Group, and the Pacers Foundation are giving kids a winning shot in Central Indiana. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org.
This is Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. We are live in downtown Indianapolis, where the beginning of the, what would you call it? They're starting to put the lights up on the monument. They're not going to light them for a couple more weeks, but that process is happening right now on a cool, chilly Saturday morning here in downtown Indianapolis. If you'd like to call, talk Pacers basketball with us. We're with you until 11 o'clock right here. 317-239-1070 is the number you can do that. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. We've got a couple of live guests at the end of the program who will be taking your Twitter questions as well. Mark Monteith, Jeremiah Johnson will join us later. The Pacers made a starting lineup adjustment. That was last night's game, putting CJ Miles in, Monte Ellis out. We don't know if that's a long-term move. Ellis did play starters minutes, was in the game near the end of the game. But a bit of an adjustment for Nate McMillan, and it should be noted that when the Pacers play a game like this on Friday night and we have this Saturday morning show, there is not time in between for Mark Boyle to chat with Nate McMillan. So part of this interview is talking about CJ Miles coming off the bench. That's because their chat happened before this starting lineup move. But nonetheless, a lot of good insight coming with Mark Boyle and Nate McMillan now. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. Nate, we have spent quite a bit of time on these weekly visits talking about the Pacers defense, which has been an issue. But the other night, in the Philadelphia game, in the overtime, you held them to 1-for-9, and it wasn't just the numbers. There was some tenacity and some ferocity that hadn't been there in the past. Now, I know it's not realistic to expect that on a possession-by-possession basis, but is there any reason you can't get somewhere close to that on a nightly basis?
Well, that's something that we have been talking about. You know, we showed that overtime and, you know, the team that played in that overtime and then what we looked like playing in the first 48 minutes. And that sense of urgency or playing with that urgency on the defensive end of the floor, there was one possession where we defended for 23 seconds and Philadelphia couldn't touch the paint. We can play that way, and we can play that way maybe not entire 48 minutes, but we can play that way close to 48 minutes, and that's the urgency we need to come with. We have guys that can step in and fill in when guys get a little fatigue, and why we're not getting that, that's what we're working on, consistency and being disciplined in how we defend and execute our offense.
Is what we're talking about here more of a mindset, or is it an attention to detail, technique, strategy, something, a combination of both perhaps?
Well, certainly, I think it's definitely a mindset and committing to that. You know, this is something that we know we can do. We've seen it, throughout this short season at times. We've, you know, dominated games for sometimes 36 minutes, and all of a sudden we start to have slippage in our defense, our offense. We have breakdowns. Teams are able to get back into the game. We've seen where at times we're coming off slow starts. So just the inconsistency is what we need to improve. You know, playing a solid 48-minute game and being disciplined in your rules on the defensive end of the floor.
There have been some good individual performances lately. Jeff Teague had 21 against Chicago a week or so ago, had a big game against Philadelphia the other night. A proven guy who's been an All-Star as recently as 2 years ago, but he did start slowly. Were you ever concerned about him?
Well, I talked to him several times. You know, he had a couple nights where he didn't shoot the ball well, and he just looked uncomfortable out there. We did talk, and, you know, he was fine, and I was fine with him. You know, I knew that it was going to take some time, and it's going to take some time for him to, you know, learn his teammates and learn how he can be productive in this new system. And he had a big game against Philadelphia. I thought he looked a little bit more comfortable running the offense, establishing us on the defensive end of the floor. I thought he took good shots, made good decisions, got guys involved. And I think as we continue to play more games, he'll get more comfortable with his new teammates, and they'll get more comfortable with him.
Let's talk for a moment, too, about C.J. Miles. He's playing as well, or better maybe, than anybody in the league off of the bench. Are you seeing anything different about him?
Well, you know, we know that CJ can shoot the ball, and we want him to go out and be aggressive. What we want him to really work on and get better is defending at the 2-3, and sometimes we'll put him at the 4 position. But he was a guy that, you know, got off to a slow start, didn't play much in training camp, and Glenn Robinson came in and was that first guy off the bench. And, you know, for a veteran, they see that and they know they got to come out and be sharp. I think CJ has responded to that. He's shot the ball extremely well. We need his perimeter shooting, and we'll look to get him more minutes.
Back-to-back tonight, Boston is here. They're similar to you, at least on this level. Much is expected, or at least hoped for, and they're off to a little bit of an uneven start. Can you give us any insight as to what's going on with them?
Well, you know, I think they've had some injuries. I haven't seen them much. You know, really haven't done a lot of work on those guys, except for, you know, tonight getting ready for them. But they're a team that, you know, they're going to bounce back. They're going to play hard. They're going to give themselves a chance each night. And, you know, it's a team that, you know, you got to execute and you got to beat them. They don't beat themselves. But I think they've had a lot of injuries to start this short season.
Pacers coach Nate McMillan, kind enough to spend some time with us this morning. Pacers getting set to take on Boston tonight. There are good seats available. We would, as always, love to see you out there. If not, you know where to find us. Pat has radio coverage starting at 6:30. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's throw it back to Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark, thank you. Again, coming up later in the show, we will hear from Mark again. We'll hear from Jeremiah Johnson. We'll hear from Mark Monteith. But when we return, it's time for the always exciting, the always thrilling Eddie White. He goes around the house. That's next.
Get ready for the Red Hot Chili Peppers live in concert.
Well, I love the trains. I hope to be
part. May 18th, the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Red Hot Chili Peppers. New album, The Getaway, available now. Reserve seats on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster.com, and all Ticketmaster locations. Red Hot Chili Peppers, produced by NS2.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer reading program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is George Niang. Bankers Life is not just the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. They are also proud supporters of the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 17 seasons, Bankers Life and its parent company, CNO Financial Group, have donated nearly $260,000 to the Pacers Foundation, inspiring and motivating countless Indiana young people. Bankers Life, CNO Financial Group, and the Pacers Foundation are giving kids a winning shot in Central Indiana. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org.
This is Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. We're live with you from 10 to 11 every Saturday morning, where we will talk to the players, the coaches here on this show, the broadcasters certainly, but we have one segment that's a little bit unique, and it's Eddie White, who's a little bit unique, and he goes around the house inside a Bankers Life Fieldhouse. He finds someone you might not know their story, but feels like you should know their story, and this is certainly true this week. He talks with Shayna Sangster. Shayna is the Partnership Activation Manager at Pacers Sports and Entertainment. And here is their conversation.
Thanks, Pat. We are once again back with Around the House. And this week, holy smokes, this lady is one of the hardest working people we have in the building. Very interesting lady, great athlete. Really, she's awesome. And she works in an area that I know what they do, but I don't know how to describe it. So I figured, what the heck, I'd get her on and have her talk to us this week. Our guest this week, the one and only Shayna Sangster. And let me get this right. You are in Partnership Activation. Did I get that right?
Yes, I am the Partnership Activation Manager here for Pacers Sports and Entertainment. So we work with all of our sponsors, and my job specifically is to make sure we get everything that we've promised them. We make sure we get it done. So that includes timeouts, that includes signage within our building, that includes boomer appearances, anything and everything that you can think of that a sponsor would want, we make sure it gets done.
So we look at the two words, partnership on one hand, that is all the Pacers are blessed with some great partners. And then the activations, basically, it's you're getting it done. I mean, you're just making it happen. How many partners do you guys have over there? And how many people do you have that take care of all these partners?
We have a good amount of partners. We have about 14 people on our staff, some that are sales directors that go out and sell the sponsorships, and then the activation side that go out and make sure that the things that we've promised are getting done. So there's about 14 of us in total, and we work to just kind of maintain those relationships and make sure that both Pacers and Fever have good relationships with the businesses in this community.
To me, I would think the activation part is fun, because you get to work with the people, you get to make stuff happen, and you know, sometimes it works out brilliantly. Sometimes it gets right, that it's the last minute, you guys are putting something together, and boom, it works and it scores. To me, this sounds like this would be, we have so many areas in our building, that this would be one of the more really fun parts to be a part of.
Yeah, it definitely is. I work with a lot of different sponsors and just kind of helping bring their brand to life in our building. Right now I'm working with Southwest to kind of visualize what their timeouts should look like, and kind of thinking of pricing and making things fun and exciting for our fans. It's also, bringing together player appearances. So bringing Miles Turner to IU Health to allow him to interact with their people and sign autographs, and just kind of bringing our Pacers presence out into the community.
You mentioned Southwest Airlines. That's one of the big deals we did this year. Southwest, of course, now the official airline of the Pacers. And one of the coolest things was they did this kind of video with Boomer and all of their employees out by the airport, what, 200 people or so. And it was like the coolest thing in the world. Explain to the people, like, you got to get Boomer out there. You got to work with them on the creative. There's a lot of logistics involved. But that looked like one whale of a deal. And I thought that was one of the best things I've seen that we've done in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's turned out to be about a 49 second video, but the lead up to that takes a lot of work. Obviously, Southwest came into town. We went to the airport, had to book Boomer, make sure he was there and ready to go. We worked with their creative staff and their video staff to make sure everything got produced and put together, working with the employees at Southwest that are at the Indianapolis airport to include them in the videos. and then put it all together and produce it to get it out on our website and to get it out on social media and for the press conference. So although it turns out to be a little 40-some-odd second video, it takes definitely days and weeks in preparation to get that done.
Oh, my God. Listen to you, I'm thinking, oh, my God, that's a lot of work. Holy smokes. I see this great video. It was awesome. And you got to go to egopacers.com and see the video, Boomer, with the Southwest folks. But that did take a lot of work. So now, people listen to this, because we have, this is the most popular segment that Pat has every Saturday morning. People just die to hear this segment. There are people listening to this. They want to get here. They want to work for the Pacers. They want to do. How did you get into this business? Where'd you go to school? And then how the heck did you get here with the Pacers?
I went to Western Michigan University, and I ran track there. I also majored in business management. So after I left there, before I left there, I did an internship with USA Track and Field and ended up getting a job there after I graduated. A great way to get into sports is obviously to get internships, and not only with major NBA or NFL teams or MLB, but also national governing bodies, which are smaller organizations and a little bit easier to kind of get your foot in the door. So that's what I did. I worked there for 6 years with our programs and our high-performance programs. Went back and got my MBA with a focus in marketing and entrepreneurship, and then came over to work for the Pacers in the corporate partnerships department. So it's all a matter of kind of getting to know people, networking, getting your foot in the door through internships and getting an experience that way, and then finding a job that fits the experience that you've had.
Well, it was great catching up with you. Thanks so much for coming by. And hopefully we could do this again. And you guys are absolutely awesome over there. I see you guys every time I walk over that side of the building. You guys are always running around like something's going on. And when you think about it, we have all these partners. You have the Pacers. You have the Fever. And when you are in charge of, and you got to work with activation, holy smokes, that's a lot of work. But thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick. She is one example of the great people we have. She's going to run her own company someday. I'm telling you right now, she is an all-star. And folks, listen to this, you youngsters or you parents who have kids, internships are very important. You heard Shayna's story. And Patrick, you remember, one of my old interns at Notre Dame grew up to be Hannah Storm, who's all over ESPN. Starts with an internship, and it grows into a beautiful, beautiful thing. Patrick, this was a good one. Back to you, my friend.
Starts with an internship with Eddie White, and it always turns into a good, good thing. Eddie White, thank you so much for your time. He goes around the house every week with us, sometime between 10 and 11, to talk with somebody inside of Bankers Live Fieldhouse. Their story you might know, their story you might not know, and certainly, Shayna, thanks for sitting in with Eddie as well. A look at the future Pacers schedule. There's four straight home games coming up, and in fact, there are 8 of the next 9 coming up at home. So plenty of chances to catch the Pacers and plenty of intriguing games coming up as well. Tonight, Boston. It's 60s night. You're going to get a Roger Brown bobblehead just for going to the game. Boston, an interesting new-look team. On Monday, Frank Vogel's team comes in for the first time. He makes his return to Indianapolis when the Magic take on the Pacers on Monday night. On Wednesday, it's the Cavaliers. On Friday, it's a team you don't see but once a year. It's Phoenix. They head on the road to OKC and then come back. Golden State, don't need to tell you why that one's interesting. Atlanta with Dwight Howard, certainly interesting coming in. Then on Friday, of next week, Brooklyn, they close with Sunday against LA. Nearly every one of those teams, that's LAC, Clippers, by the way, an interesting storyline they bring into Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Pacers.com/tickets. We'd like to see you for multiple games during that stretch if you can make it. If not, Kroger pregame show will always begin 30 minutes before, and then the call with Mark Boyle and Slick Leonard as well. Well, we just heard from Mark earlier. Let's hear from him again. After the break, he talks with another Mark, Mark Zumoff. He's the television voice of the Sixers. Those two recently got to chat. You'll hear it when we return on Pacers Weekly.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
The Harlem Globetrotters will dribble into Bankers Life Fieldhouse with their action-packed world tour on Saturday, January 14th at noon. Witness amazing Globetrotter moments that will become unforgettable Globetrotter memories. Feel the dunks. See the ball handling. Experience the antics that will have kids of all ages laughing the entire time. Don't miss the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters on Saturday, January 14th at noon. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
30 years and still number one. Bon Jovi, live in concert. This house is not for sale.
This house is not for sale.
The tour, Bon Jovi, performing all their anthems. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, March 22nd. Every ticket purchased receives a copy of the new album, This House is Not for Sale, available November 4th. Get tickets starting at $19.75 at LiveNation.com while supplies last. Service charges apply. There's more at BonJovi.com.
Pacers Weekly continues on here on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. If you'd like to chat with us, 317-239-1070 is the number that you can do that. We're taking your telephone calls and your Twitter questions at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. Mark Zumoff is the television voice of the 76ers. He certainly had a difficult job over the last couple of years in that role. And when the Pacers were there on Friday, Mark Boyle got a chance to sit down with him. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. The 76ers, Mark, have, I think, been one of the more interesting stories in the league, not just now, but for the last few years, because they've taken a different approach. And so far, the results have not been anything to get too excited about. This year, the team is off to a slow start again. Wins and losses aside, are you seeing any indications that the philosophical nature that the Sixers have embraced is starting to pay off?
Joel Embiid is probably the biggest example of that. Here's a young fellow who just played a couple of years at Mount Verde in Florida. He played less than a college season. He is only five games into his regular season, and he's already the best rookie out there in terms of the numbers. He's a rim protector. He can shoot the three. And remember, he's 7'2", and he's like 275. And one of those who I think once Ben Simmons comes back, you're talking about two guys that you could build around for the next decade.
Once Ben Simmons comes back, he's out. Embiid missed 2 years. There's been some sort of a bad karma deal with these young guys you've brought in. How much has that impacted what's been going on in Philadelphia?
Injuries will always impact you, and not only Simmons, but one thing that Brian Colangelo, now that he is in for Sam Hinkie, has done is bring in a sprinkling of veterans to try to move things forward, to be mentors, that sort of thing. So one of the guys was Jared Bayless, a veteran combo guard who is hurt. He's got a left wrist problem. Nerlens Noel, who would give us yet another big man to go along with Embiid and Jahlil Okafor, is out after getting a left knee procedure. So as it relates to Simmons, there is a guy who, again, you can build around, and when your plans during training camp involve having him run your offense and play 30 minutes a game, it's going to cause problems. So your starting point guard, a regular big man in the rotation, and a guy you're building around is hurt. And despite that, the team has had a chance to win several games, including they could have beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers and probably should have at home.
Let's go back to something that I said earlier, because it bears getting into a little bit more. I said that the Sixers had a different philosophy. Specifically, that was Sam Hinkie's philosophy. And now, as you mentioned, Brian Colangelo, who built some good teams in Toronto, is there. Does he look at building a team differently than Sam did?
Insofar as the fact that the mandate, Mark, is different now. I mean, it's just different. We know what Sam was doing. He was compiling assets. Now, in concert with ownership, they want to move this thing forward and start to win some games. Beside the fact that I'm not even sure that Brian Colangelo, philosophically speaking, would have done it the same way as Sam Hinkie. He probably would have done it differently. He has certainly done it differently in his two previous jobs. So given all of those things, yes, he's a lot different. And example A is the fact that a week or so into the season, he traded Jeremy Grant, a young player who was in his third year, in return for a veteran in Ersan Ilyasova. So I think it's pretty clear, just from the way he built the roster before the season and the move he recently made, that yes, there is a different philosophy.
I'm curious about this. It doesn't relate to the basketball team, but it relates to the city. Philadelphia sports fans are really loyal, but they're also very demanding. Now, we were there last night for Pacers-Sixers. That's one game, not good enough to get a feel. How are the 76ers perceived now by the sports fans in Philadelphia?
I think there is a lot of hope. I think that there are people who are willing to go through what has been commonly called the process, which is rather unusual for our fans because they are notoriously impatient. But I think they realize that in the NBA, if you continue to do things in a ham and egg fashion, you're going to be a middling team. Maybe you make a seventh or eighth seed, and that's about it. They saw what predominantly saw, most of the fans saw, the wisdom in gutting the team, collecting assets, and building through the draft. So I think now, along with the owners and everybody else, Brian Colangelo, they want to start to see the thing move forward.
What, not a number, Mark, but what, in terms of just a general accomplishment, a general goal for the 82-game season, would be considered successful this year for the 76ers?
Well, they have to win more, Mark, than they won last year, which is 10 games, which was only one away from the NBA franchise record, ironically held by us. I think that if you see Ben Simmons come back, which I know the team is hopeful that he does, maybe sometime in January perhaps, if he can get 25 or 30 games under his belt, or maybe even close to half a season, if you continue to see good play from Embiid, who's under a minutes restriction, and you see some evidence of a core coming together and some semblance of a team, which we haven't had in 3 years, then I think the wins will take care of themselves, 2025 perhaps, and I think overall that the year will be seen as quite a success.
Mark Zumoff, longtime play-by-play broadcaster on television for the Philadelphia 76ers, kind enough to spend some time with us this morning. We saw the Sixers twice this week. We'll see them twice more, including their visit to Indianapolis later this season. Tonight, though, it's the Boston Celtics in town. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's turn it back over to Pat Boylan.
All right, a thanks to Mark Zumoff and Mark Boyle. When we return, it's Mark Monteith. I'm Pat Boylan.
At ATI Physical Therapy, we're here for you. When you're injured, in pain, or recovering from surgery, we'll help you get back to your best with expert therapy that's customized for you. Plus, we'll schedule your first appointment in 24 to 48 hours, so you're on your way to feeling better faster. With over 50 Indiana locations, visit ATIPT.com to find an ATI clinic near you. We know returning to better health is a big deal, so look no further. ATI Physical Therapy, here for Indiana and here for you.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Justin Moore.
I just want to add you.
Lee Bryce.
I belong to the drinking class.
American Made George.
You look like I need a drink right.
January 12th, 7 p.m. Bankers Life Fieldhouse. One night of hit after hit. Justin Moore.
I can't wait to see where it goes.
Lee Bryce. January 12th, Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Small town, USA. I drive your truck.
Platinum selling Justin Moore.
To my last day.
Chart topping Lee Bryce.
It look like crazy.
Making country music great again.
He can't even bait a hook.
Tickets are on sale now at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse box office by phone at 800-745-3000 and online at Ticketmaster.com. Produced by Police Productions.
Let's go.
Indiana Pacers hosting Boston Celtics tonight at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. Kroger pregame show on the radio starts at 6:30. On that show, near the end or so, you will hear Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith, but he is also with us now. Here's the pro that Mark is. He was not able to watch last night's game with another conflict, and so he just got done this morning watching the Pacers game on recording. Mark, your initial reactions to what was ultimately a tough night in Philadelphia?
Yeah, you know, you're watching it where they're up 6 points and have the ball, and you're thinking then, well, how did they lose this game? And you know, Paul George kind of forced a shot, and then Philly got that four-point play. Might have been a questionable call, but, you know, that still should not happen. And, you know, Philly just made the hustle plays down the stretch. They got so many offensive rebounds. And the Pacers, to me, are still struggling in the half-court offense to get good shots. You're seeing other teams just get better shots out of their half-court execution. You know, the Pacers are stagnant. They're trying to get the ball to Paul George to go one-on-one, and everybody else is standing around watching. And that's not going to work over the long run. We saw it last year, and I was hoping it would change this year, but it hasn't yet, really. So I just think they got to come up with better execution, more movement in the half-court, more ball movement, more people movement. And then you just got to make the hustle plays, too. You can't give up, what was it, 18 offensive rebounds, something like that, but they gave up. Or 13 offensive rebounds, 18 second chance points. Those things will get you beat all the time. So the things that are causing them to lose these road games are certainly correctable. It's not like the talent isn't there. So, and you and I have talked many times before that, hey, teams with a new system, a new coach, and so many new players are bound to struggle early, and that's what we're seeing now. The question is if and when they come out of it.
And it does seem like a little bit of a broken record, but the point is it still is early. We're still in mid-November of a season that's going to go through April. Mark, did you make anything out of the fact that, you know, when the Pacers, what's done them in most of the season has been their poor defense, yet last night the defense might not have been exceptional, but Philadelphia shot in the low 40s. Their total at the end of regulation was 100. The defense certainly wasn't a major issue for Indiana, yet they still weren't able to get off the schneid on the road.
Right. Yeah, and that goes to half-court execution and offense, I think. They're just getting better shots. The defense was – I think the Pacers have given decent defensive effort all along. It's not like they aren't caring about it or working on it. I think they just have to still communicate better in the half-court defense, and that certainly is going to take time. Nate McMillan said this week earlier that defense usually comes around slower than offense, and I think that's probably true as well. You know, that on offense, if you have scores, you just get the ball to them and just, you know, try to do the basic things and get shots. But on defense, you really do have to be tied together, and the Pacers are not tied together. And I think they lack, they're like a big body short around the basket. You know, they miss a guy like Jan Mahinmi, who can block shots or, you know, tip balls, that kind of thing. You know, Miles Turner is good around the basket, had a couple of key blocks last night late, but he's just one guy, and he's getting in foul trouble, and he's having a difficult time defending in the post against guys like Embiid. So it seems in a way like maybe they're a big man short down there, or Al Jefferson, you know, who could certainly score, comes around, or, you know, LaVoy Allen, they need to get more out of him too. But, you know, the season is young, and they are one game under 500, and we have seen teams that went to the conference finals get off to far worse starts than this. So certainly no time to panic about anything. It's just things need to be worked out, and I doubt that that's a surprise to anyone in the front office.
I'm curious your take on the decision to move C.J. Miles into the starting lineup, Monte Ellis out. There's a lot of angles I think you could take here, one of them being, you know, the Pacers ultimately weren't able to get the win. So was it successful? On the other hand, Miles played well. Ellis played well off the bench, and you look at the minutes totals. Ellis went 36 minutes, Miles went 30, so Ellis is still getting his starting minutes, and he was in there at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Nate McMillan did it. I guess I was a little surprised he did it this early, coming off of a win, but it makes a lot of sense on different levels. I mean, it gives them a little more length in the backcourt. I was always curious how Monte Ellis would feel about coming off the bench because he hasn't done it in a long, long time. I don't think he's done it on a regular basis since his rookie year. And, you know, he was a kid coming right out of high school. So it certainly looked like he adapted to it well and didn't mind and played awfully well and does give them something in the backcourt. in that second unit. Now, when Rodney Stuckey comes back, I think things get a little bit clogged back there, but that's something you just have to work out. You can't complain about having too many players in the position. So I think it's something they'll stick with for a while. You know, if C.J. Miles can continue to look at the basket the way he has, because he's been the one guy in that offense who's been really assertive and making quick decisions. If they can continue to get that out of him, he's an extra three-point shooter. It puts the ball in Jeff Teague's hands more, which I think Jeff Teague wants. And then as long as Monte Ellis is thriving off the bench, I think it can work. So, and like you said, he was in there at the end. And that's the whole thing is, are you in the game at the end if the game is on the line? So it could work out, I think. I'd like to see it more, and we'll see what happens with it.
Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith joining us. Indiana hosting Boston Celtics tonight. It's the 60s decade night. Roger Brown bobbleheads will be given away. The 60s decade will be honored. We will talk more about Mark Monteith with that when we return on Pacers Weekly.
Get ready for the Red Hot Chili Peppers live in concert. May 18th, the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Red Hot Chili Peppers. New album, The Getaway, available now. Reserve seats on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster.com, and all Ticketmaster locations. Red Hot Chili Peppers, produced by NS2.
Your money. Your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of your money. It's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer reading program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is George Niang. Bankers Life is not just the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. They are also proud supporters of the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 17 seasons, Bankers Life and its parent company, CNO Financial Group, have donated nearly $260,000 to the Pacers Foundation, inspiring and motivating countless Indiana young people. Bankers Life, CNO Financial Group, and the Pacers Foundation are giving kids a winning shot in Central Indiana. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org.
Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. You heard Mark Monteith talking about that game in Philadelphia last night a moment ago. Now we take a look forward. It's the Boston Celtics tonight, Mark. Boston, a team who I think has been a lot like Indiana. They changed some in the offseason, and they've been struggling to find their defense early on. How surprising has that been to you, considering their coach hasn't changed, and it's the very well-respected Brad Stevens?
Yeah, it is somewhat surprising. Boston, I think, was probably the consensus pick to finish second in the East. I would think most analysts, so to speak, had them there. Certainly one of the better teams in the East behind Cleveland. And we know Brad Stevens is a really good coach, and they didn't have as much change in personnel as the Pacers, and they've struggled too. I mean, they had a game, well, last week when they were down 34-8 after the first quarter. So, you know, it's typical of teams to find themselves this early in the season if they've had any changes at all. Even one or two changes in the starting lineup can do it. So somewhat of a surprise, but you have to figure, you know, with Brad Stevens, they'll get it figured out as well.
It is 60s decade night tonight at the Fieldhouse. They'll be honoring that entire decade where the Pacers' basketball roots began in the ABA. And Roger Brown, of course, is the major emphasis tonight. It's his bobblehead giveaway. You wrote a story, Roger Brown Made It Look Easy. What were your biggest takeaways of going into a story like this on Roger Brown, a player who a lot of Pacers fans, including me, a younger generation, might not realize exactly what he brought?
Yeah, Roger Brown was the cool guy in the Pacer locker room and on the court. He was a very poised guy who was a clutch player. Before Reggie Miller, he was the best clutch player in Pacer history. And he kind of made it look easy. You know, he wasn't the guy to dive on the floor for a loose ball. You know, he was the guy who, frankly, saved effort until the moments you really needed it, but got away with it because he was so skilled. But he was just kind of a different breed. His teammates really liked him. I think we all secretly or not so secretly liked the guy who can get away with a few things here and there, who makes it look easy, who's the cool guy in the room, that type of thing. And that was Roger. You know, I grew up just a block away from Roger Brown. I lived on 65th Street off of Michigan Road. He lived on Coyle, one block south of that, different school district, but, you know, just a block away. And occasionally I would see him driving down the street. He had a canary yellow Eldorado, and then he had a hot pink Eldorado. You know, that was Roger Brown. You know, those were the cars he drove. And then he's the guy who'll go out and hit a game-winning three-pointer or get to the basket with a great move, that type of thing. So although he had been a great athlete growing up in New York, by the time he got to the Pacers, he had lost some of that athleticism from playing on the playgrounds and so forth. And he wasn't a guy who dunked on people, for example, but he could always get to the basket and get a shot, and then he would make the shot. And the weird thing about Roger early on was that his eyes weren't that good. You know, he said he just saw like an orange blur up there, and that's what he shot at. And after a couple of seasons, the Pacers bought contact lenses for him, and he could see the basket better. But even before that, he was a good shooter. So just a really unique guy. You know, Eddie White asked me after the last home game who I would compare him to, and it's hard for me to come up with a comparison for Roger Brown just because he was such a unique type of athlete.
We've got about a minute left here, Mark. We'll close with this. They're honoring the 60s tonight. It's kind of a unique situation because the team was founded in 67, so there's not a decade to go upon, and a lot of these guys who are in the 60s were also major factors in the 70s. But besides Roger Brown, what about the 60s should Pacers fans know?
Yeah, well, they got started in the 60s, founded in 1967, so there were really only two seasons that were exclusive to the 60s. But Slick Leonard, you know, took over that second year, and the second season is when the Pacers really got going. They got to the ABA Finals that year after a bad start. You know, we could use that team in a sense as a marker for this team. You know, the Pacers were 2-7 when Slick was hired, and his teams went 3-8 to get started in that second year, and they wound up in the ABA Finals where they lost to Oakland. And one of the things Slick did to get that team going was reach Roger Brown and get him going, left him home on a road trip, in fact, to send a message to him. So the 60s are when it all started. The first title came in 1970, but the 60s was where the foundation was laid.
And you can go on Pacers.com right now and read Mark's story about Roger Brown, titled Roger Brown Made It Look Easy. It's on the front page. It's very easy to find. You'll also hear Mark Monteith tonight at about 6:50 or so on the Kroger pregame show. But this morning, Mark, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Take care.
All right, this is Pacers Weekly. When we return, Jeremiah Johnson closes out the show. Pacers TV host and sideline reporter joins us live next.
30 years and still number one. Bon Jovi, live in concert. This house is not for sale.
This house is not for sale.
The Tour. Bon Jovi, performing all their anthems. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, March 22nd. Every ticket purchased receives a copy of the new album, This House is Not for Sale, available November 4th. Get tickets starting at $19.75 at LiveNation.com while supplies last. Service charges apply. There's more at BonJovi.com.
Your money, your voice. At Forum Credit Union, that's true even when you're talking about a loan. Sure, the money might be ours to start with, but what good is the money if it's not making things happen? Every day, our members are building decks, buying cars, or heading back to school. Forum's personal service and large array of loan options make it possible. It's not just your money, it's your life, and we want to help you make the most of it. Visit a branch or forumcu.com. Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
The Harlem Globetrotters will dribble into Bankers Life Fieldhouse with their action-packed world tour on Saturday, January 14th at noon. Witness amazing Globetrotter moments that will become unforgettable Globetrotter memories. Feel the dunks. See the ball handling. Experience the antics that will have kids of all ages laughing the entire time. Don't miss the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters on Saturday, January 14th at noon. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is George Niang. Bankers Life is not just the official insurance partner of the Indiana Pacers. They are also proud supporters of the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 17 seasons, Bankers Life and its parent company, CNO Financial Group, have donated nearly $260,000 to the Pacers Foundation, inspiring and motivating countless Indiana young people. Bankers Life, CNO Financial Group, and the Pacers Foundation are giving kids a winning shot in Central Indiana. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org.
Rounding out Pacers Weekly on 93.5 FM, 1070 The Fan. I'm Pat Boylan. Joining us live, as he almost always does at this time during this segment, is Jeremiah Johnson. The Pacers are on a back-to-back tonight. So are the Celtics, both kind of coming from that northeastern part of the country, Jeremiah. I'm curious, what time did you guys get in, which is probably fairly true in that ballpark for the Celtics as well last night?
I think it was about 1:30, 1:45, and it was interesting because the teams, when we left Philadelphia, there were two planes there and two travel parties because the Sixers were headed to Atlanta, I believe, for their game tonight. So there were two planes there, and then when we got back, there was another set of buses ready to pick up another team, and that was the Celtics, but they had not arrived yet. So we at least beat the Celtics into town. They, of course, head to a hotel. All of the Pacers players headed to their homes. And then no shoot-arounds for either team today because of the back-to-back. So all things are equal right now, and you could say that both teams' starts to the season are equal and that they're struggling just a little bit trying to find themselves.
And the Pacers unable to find themselves late in that overtime in Philadelphia last night. Being there, being around the team, I know at times you said you'd like to see maybe a touch more energy in situations where the Pacers would get down and the other team would be on a run. Was that true last night? Was there something else you noticed?
You know, I thought they played pretty hard for the majority of the game. There were just lapses where they didn't play well. And then the one thing that, you know, even though they were playing hard, sometimes it can be a difference of about 2% in terms of one team to the other and getting a loose ball or grabbing a rebound. I mean, there were times they were blocked out. They were blocking everyone out, and then no one went after the ball, and it hit the floor, or they just didn't get the rebound. So I didn't think the energy was lacking. It was just sometimes maybe not quite to the level that they needed, and Philadelphia had all of the energy. And when you think about, they were a team that had been close so many times this season. I give a lot of credit to their fans for the enthusiasm that they've shown really every time that we've been there over the last three seasons when they've been struggling so much and had one of the worst records in the NBA and last night went into the game winless. They were fired up, and when Joel Embiid started to take over that game, it was as loud as you'll see or hear any arena. So they fed off that crowd, and that was just enough to get them the overtime win.
Pacers TV host and sideline reporter Jeremiah Johnson is joining us. Celtics are in here tonight. Right now I'm looking at their game notes, which are updated for tonight. It lists Al Horford out, although their team account tweeting that Al Horford told the media that he will travel to Indiana tonight. So we will see and follow that whether their new acquisition comes in, which certainly alters how you might answer this question. But when you look at Boston, you mentioned they've struggled kind of in a similar way that Indiana has to play defense, a team that previously was very good on defense. But what sticks out to you looking at Boston?
You know, you thought that with only losing really Sullinger and maybe a couple other minor pieces and bringing in Al Horford, and they were already a team that was considered one of the top, you know, three or four in the East last season, that they would make a big improvement. And they've not done that. But Horford's been out for about a week. I just actually checked as well before this phone call to see what his status was, and I see that he's expected or did travel with the team, but they are also, I think, on a road trip where they will play, I think, New Orleans maybe on Monday. So it could be that he travels with the team but doesn't yet play tonight, and we'll have to see. I still think this is a team, much like the Pacers, that when you look at them in December, they're going to be better than they are right now, and for whatever reason, they're still trying to adjust to some different things. And they don't have Jay Crowder either right now. I don't think he'll play tonight. So those are two important pieces that you take away from the team. So injuries have affected the Pacers a little bit when you think about the importance of Rodney Stuckey. Injuries have affected the Celtics. But I think they are a pretty deep team, so you'd think they could withstand that a little bit. And guys like Olynyk come in and play maybe a bigger role with Horford out. So I think it's a team that will be better in December than they are right now, and it'll be fascinating to see which team has a little more energy on the second half of the back-to-back.
Pacers TV host and sideline reporter Jeremiah Johnson is with us. Sean Grande, who is the play-by-play voice on the radio for the Celtics, tweeting out a stat that when Horford is on the court, the Celtics are plus 84. When he's off the court, he's minus 83. So certainly, or minus 53, I should say. But the stat is still significant. It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight with Al Horford. But fans can catch you at 6:30 on Fox Sports Indiana with the pregame show. What do they have to look forward to?
Well, much like you were talking with Mark Monteith, it should be just a fun night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And fun, it's a simple adjective, but I think that's a good way to describe what will happen tonight and what we will see each of the decade games throughout the course of this season. In the 1960s, Chris Denary will interview a few members that shined in those two or three seasons, and we'll have that interview on the pregame show. We'll also sit down with Nate McMillan and get Eddie Gill's thoughts on what he's seen over the past week. And then looking forward as well to some additional interviews, some comments from Slick Leonard. It'll be a mix tonight on the pregame of breaking down tonight's matchup against the Celtics and looking back on the start of the Pacers franchise, which of course started in 1967. So I'm looking forward to it. Pat, are you wearing your best 60s attire?
See, we talked about this on our web show. I don't really know what to wear for 60s because I feel like suits haven't changed that much. Are you?
I'm not. I thought about it a week ago to really go all out, and then I thought, you know, there's still a game to be played. So I don't want to be too much of a distraction. So I'll be a little bit normal, maybe 70s or 80s. I'll try to come up with something different. Suggestions, too, if you have any ideas for me for a future decade game.
All right. The 70s could be certainly more interesting. That's Jeremiah Johnson joining us, as always, here on Pacers Weekly. You can catch him at 6:30 tonight on Fox Sports Indiana. Jeremiah, thanks.
Thanks, Pat.
On the radio side, we will be coming back from breaks with the top hits of the 60s. That's how we will celebrate it here. That starts at 6:30, Kroger pregame show, right here where you are listening to Pacers Weekly. That'll wrap it up for this week. For David Deering, I'm Pat Boylan. Thanks for listening.
It whistled. Count it! Count it! A three off of contact on top!
And George takes the pass from Stuckey and dunks it.
The Pacer bench clears.
You've been listening to Pacers Weekly,